Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Matthew 20-21. The first will be last. Jesus tells a parable that unsettles our natural sense of fairness. A landowner hires workers throughout the day, some at dawn, some at the 11th hour, an hour before quitting time, and pays every one of them the same denarius. Those hired first grumble, but the landowner has broken no agreement. He simply chooses to be as generous with the last as he was fair with the first. Are you envious because I am generous? He asks. 20. The parable is not really about wages. The first workers negotiated a set wage. The later ones simply trusted the landowner's character. That is the shape of grace itself. Those who come to God on the basis of what they think they have earned receive justice, while those who come with empty, trusting hands receive far more than they had any right to expect. So the last will be first, and the first will be last, is not a threat but a promise about how differently the kingdom measures worth than we do. That same lesson is lost immediately on two of Jesus' own inner circle. James and John, or rather their mother on their behalf, ask for the two seats of highest honor beside Jesus in his coming kingdom. Jesus asks whether they can drink the cup he is about to drink. They answer yes, not yet understanding what they are agreeing to. When the other 10 disciples hear about the request, they are indignant, not because the ambition was wrong, but because each of them wanted that same honor for himself. Jesus uses the moment to redefine greatness one more time. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. 20:26-28. Immediately afterward, two blind beggars call out for mercy and receive their sight, a deliberate contrast Matthew leaves for the reader to notice. The disciples wanted something that would elevate their own status. The blind men wanted only to see, and it was their request, not the disciples, that Jesus granted without hesitation. From there, Jesus enters Jerusalem the way a king should, deliberately fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy of a king who comes gentle and riding on a donkey rather than a war horse. And the crowds greet him with genuine, if short-lived, enthusiasm. He goes directly to the temple and drives out the money changers, declaring that his father's house, meant to be a house of prayer, had been turned into a den of robbers. The next morning, hungry, he approaches a fig tree in full leaf, leaves that should have signaled early fruit already present on the branches, and finds none. "May you never bear fruit again," Jesus says, and the tree withers immediately. The lesson is not really about horticulture. A fig tree covered in leaves but bare of fruit is exactly what Israel's religious establishment had become. Outwardly flourishing, inwardly barren, all appearance and no substance. Jesus presses the same point with a simple parable of two sons. One refuses his father's request but later changes his mind and obeys. The other agrees readily and never follows through. Which of the two did what his father wanted? Jesus asks the religious leaders, and they cannot avoid the obvious answer. Tax collectors and prostitutes, Jesus tells them, who had once flatly rejected God's ways, were entering the kingdom ahead of leaders who had always spoken the right words but never actually obeyed. Initial enthusiasm, impressive vocabulary, and religious performance count for nothing next to simple obedience. It is a theme that runs the length of this whole gospel. What God has always wanted is not our promises, but our obedience. Not our performance, but our fruit. Discussion questions 1. The workers hired last received the same wage as those hired first, purely by the landowner's generosity. Where do you find yourself resenting God's grace towards someone else rather than simply receiving your own? 2. James and John sought status. The blind men sought sight. Which request more honestly describes what you tend to ask God for? The fig tree looked fruitful from a distance, but had nothing to show up close. Where might your own faith be more leaves than fruit right now? The son who said no and later obeyed pleased his father more than the son who said yes and did nothing. Where in your own life is your obedience lagging behind your good intentions? Thank you for spending this time in Matthew 20-21. Until next time, keep treasuring the word.